Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Is the day the Lord has made, and I'll be thankful and glad within it. Snow's begun to fall where I'm at. You guys getting any? Sometimes I think Thanksgiving should be filled with snow. I prefer a snowy Christmas time because it takes me back to a time where dads could still do magic, leaving raisins on the snow. It must be deer droppings. Yeah, I remember those days. Those are the days I remember as a father. This is a Western Washington story, but it's one that's repeated all across the country. With some minor exceptions, I don't see enough Republican pushback on the lockdowns, particularly in lockdown states where businesses are being destroyed and lives are being destroyed. I need to see more pushback. I know that there's an effort to impeach the so-called governor of Michigan, Whitmer, and I'm glad to see that because she has acted in a monstrous fashion. And frankly, so has Jay Inslee in Washington State. So I decided to reach out to Republican leaders to say, where are you guys? Joining me now is State Senator Mark Schossler of Ritzville fame and heritage, joins us on the Todd Herman Show. Mark, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Todd.
Appreciate it. So there's a lot to discuss. I anticipate some hard questions here, and I hope we can have a good, just honest discussion. And, you know, feel free to hit back. We're both conservative. We both view small government as solutions to things. And I promised my listeners I'd get right off the bat with this question for you. Mark, is there a legitimate medical emergency in Washington State?
You know, in the Jay Inslee sense, no. That you can suspend our rights and our liberties. Yes, we have a problem, but not the Jay Inslee level.
So you don't think his insistence that we're still in an emergency situation, you don't think that's valid?
Well, not to suspend any of our rights and liberties. It was intended to be short-term, not long-term. And we've had a suspension of government since March. That's not what our Constitution envisioned.
Right. And this is where I want to spend a little bit of time, is there are two buckets, basically, that you and your colleagues as lawmakers are given with these 30-day renewals. One bucket is something that you really can't do anything about, and that is Inslee is empowered to do crowd control measures, limiting people in spaces, and he's using that prerogative to require woke masks, etc. The other, though, is the changing of laws. And I'm curious, in April, why did you guys extend his ability to change laws like pay raises, like letting prisoners out, like seizing private property by forcing property owners to let people live rent-free in their home? Why did you not, in April, refused to sign the Four Corners Agreement, which would have held them back from doing those things to people?
Well, as I remember, those were ones we didn't have a four-corner decision on, because the convict issue, if you remember, the Senate Republicans criticized roundly. The ability to seize property, eviction notices, those are on the list of ones that we don't have a say in.
I'm not certain that's correct, Mark, because
April's a long time ago.
I'll just finish real quick. The changing of the law around who has to pay rent, it is a law that you don't get to continue to stay in someone's property and not pay rent. It has been a law that the sheriff can enforce that you are trespassing on private property after a point, that the eviction law has been, becomes a criminal statute. So that's an RCW, enforceable law. That's in the bucket of laws to the legislature, as are pay raises. You guys are the only body that can then that get to spend money. So I'm not certain that those aren't in the bucket of things you couldn't change. And yet the Four Corners agreements have been renewed every time. So why renew any of them?
Well, there's some that actually are very good common sense measures that if we were in session, we would pass or go to early implementation. If you look, for example, telemedicine, excellent. You look at some of the deregulations that were implemented in nursing homes and others, truck driving. There was things that actually made good sense from a conservative standpoint. The ones that were particularly the most onerous were the ones that were on the list that we didn't have review over.
Yeah, I'm not to the point of agreeing with you that you don't have review over pay raises.
I wish I did, because I just had a small business tell me they laid off 45 people yesterday, and they're not getting a pay raise. I certainly would have been more interested in that.
So basically, the Four Corners agreement is useless. They're useless. They don't have an ability to restrain Inslee at anything.
In its current form, it's insufficient to protect the taxpayers.
Why do they exist?
You know, there, as I understand my history, back in an era maybe before you were born or I could read, it was set up in case of a disaster to the extent of nuclear war. It was a Cold War era hangover. In recent times, the real possibility of the Cascadia abduction earthquake leaving us unable to govern properly made sense. I think if we had a do-over to that expansion, the vote wouldn't be the same today.
Okay, so the Four Corners agreement is useless.
Pretty much.
Okay, so it's a pretense. So why sign it?
The ones that we do have are ones that are really good for a lot of segments or just not
that
controversial.
Wait, but I thought they were useless. I'm sorry. I thought they were useless.
Well,
so
no.
Are they useless or not useless?
Well, let me explain it this way. The ones that tend to be renewed are ones that are generally not bad public policy, in some cases good. The ones that are the most onerous are the ones that are exempt.
That's interesting. I do not perceive, in the research I've done and the other legislators with whom I've spoken, that pay raises are part of that, that the eviction moratorium is part of that. That is a waiving of a law, Mark. Mark Schlosser's with us.
Yep.
He's a minority leader in the Senate, been a longtime Republican, and grew up in the common sense town of Ritzville. That's the waiving of your right to enforce your private property, Mark. The United States Constitution
recognizes our... I had a choice on the eviction notice.
Yeah.
I would not renew it.
So you're telling me that the eviction notice, you have absolutely no doubt, Mark, non-reviewable.
Right.
And your basis for that is what?
You know, when we get the proclamations, we have a good, solid conservative staff lawyer. Says here's the ones that fall into the category of reviewable by the Four Corners, and there's the ones that are not. And generally, the ones that are renewable or reviewable tend to be things like, well, let's, in the name of public health, let's defer the requirement to renew our commercial driver's licenses. Let's keep telemedicine going. They're ones that the public generally likes, and our caucus has felt that these were not bad public policies.
So some of these policies, and you'll forgive me if I am going to stick by what I've researched, and we'll way to figure this out. Maybe I'll have to have your staff attorney on and talk to someone else. But I'm a little bit stuck on the fact that I own property. It's mine. I'm a little bit stuck on that it's illegal for the government to seize my property without recompense. I'm a little bit stuck on that from the perspective of the United States Constitution. I'm a little bit stuck on that from the perspective of the state constitution, that suspending my ownership of my land and seizing it. I'm a little bit stuck on that's Jay Inslee changing the Constitution, which is the law of the United States and Washington State. Do we have a constitutional prerogative to own our land and to have it not seized without recompense?
I believe that to be the case.
Is Jay Inslee seizing our land without recompense?
If there is not a compensation to the landlord, of course.
Are landlords being compensated after he has seized their land and said people don't have to pay rent? Is there a compensation?
I think the rent subsidies are very hit and miss. That's why, for example, we have four landlords in Yakima suing the governor to try and avoid pending bankruptcy for their investments.
All right. Well, Mark, here's what I'm hearing. You and I agree the Constitution says we can own private property. You and I agree that owning the private property, the government cannot seize it without recompense. You said hit and miss, Mark. I can introduce you to property owners who have received no money from the government. I can introduce you to property owners who are living in their garage because their renters won't pay rent. So that is a seizing of private property with no recompense. Mark, that's a changing of the Washington State Constitution. Are you telling me that a change to the private property protections under the Washington State and United States Constitution is not renewable by the Four Corners Agreement? And are you sure that's the case?
I reviewed the cases just the last 2 days. The eviction notice is not within the statutes of what we can review. That's why the frustration of landlords around the state have led to lawsuits challenging it.
Okay. All right.
Because some landlords have tenants that will use rental assistance, and many tenants just say, hey, I refuse to pay, and you can't do anything about it. That's
right.
Why we see landlord groups in the courts, and I hope they're successful.
All right. Mark Schlosser's with us. We're going to do a quick 60-second look at traffic. We'll get right back to the conversation with Senator Mark Schlosser. All right, Senator, I'm not satisfied that the Four Corners Agreement does not allow you guys to review changes to the Constitution and the law, but we'll let that stand because I don't think you and I are going to agree on that. If Four Corners Agreements are useless, then let's just stop signing them. So why don't you guys just not sign them anymore?
I think the reason they've been signed, Todd, many have been signed, is that there are ones that the public would thoroughly agree with that are actually good public policy.
All right, so that's good dictatorship. That's in that case not a malevolent dictatorship. It's a benevolent dictatorship.
Well, if you get into a situation where we're reducing and eliminating regulation, that's something conservatives strongly agree with.
So it's benevolent dictatorship.
Some of this unnecessary regulation during this time of a health problem.
Politics, do you agree that politics is partly a game of leverage?
Yes.
All right. The only leverage you appear to have are useless documents, but you keep saying that the documents contain some benefits. Seize the benefits. Stop the benefits. And make Inslee come to the table. Get our seat back at the table. Don't sign. These documents are either useless or they're not. I hear you saying they're not useless now. So if they're not useless, stop signing them and get a seat at the table. Because Inslee's not going to give you a special session because he doesn't care. So will you stop signing these documents and use leverage?
I will continue to sign ones that make sense and refuse to sign ones that don't.
So you're not going to use the leverage of some of the things that are beneficial to get a seat at the table, to get teachers who are not teaching to give their pay raises back, to actually furlough some people.
That's not one that we have prerogative over, Todd.
No, that's not what I said, Mark. What I said was use your leverage. Refuse to sign the Four Corners documents at all until Inslee comes to the table. We have teachers getting paid to not teach, complete with a pay raise. We have no furloughing of government workers, and where Inslee has inserted a furlough, it's on a Friday, and he intends to dip into federal unemployment insurance to pay for that. These people are going to be getting a raise. Use your leverage. Because, look, from a moral and legalistic perspective, this has been a failure, and it's destroying the state of Washington. From a political perspective, the Democrats used the pay raise. And I'm still, Mark, with all due respect, I'm still not sold on the fact that the Four Corners Agreement can't stall the can't, you know, cancel the pay raise. They used that pay raise to raise $3 million in a week, which was more than Republicans raised in a year. They used that to go 6-1 against some of our legislators. You guys didn't gain any seats. You had a net, you had net zero gain. And I know this has got to sadden you, Mark. You're conservative. You've been in office, you know, for a long time. You fought some real battles. You've got to be upset to see Steve O'Bann gone and replaced with a radical. Part of that happened through this pay raise game they played.
If the pay raise could have been suspended by the Four Corners, I assure you, Representative Wilcox and I would have done it in a second.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to have to figure out how we get to an answer in that, because you and I are just at loggerheads on that, because I just don't agree. I just don't agree that you give up your ability to not change laws. But let me shift gears, because, look, I always appreciate people who come on and have a tough conversation. And I recognize that I'm putting you through some tough questioning. I want to ask you one more tough question. Then let's talk about this extend or this special session you guys are trying to get, or this having Inslee call you back. I get it. You guys want to do that. One more tough question. Why do conservatives want you guys to, as a group, stand up to Jay Inslee and say your lockdown is killing people? Why is it that I have access to data that shows that the lockdown is killing people, that it is taking more lives than the COVID flu? Why can I talk about useless PCR tests, 40 cycles, that cases mean nothing? Why can I point to the implied lie of that and have my listeners educated in this? And I don't see the Republicans as a body standing up to Jay Inslee all at once saying your lockdown is now killing people and it's damaging students and it's leading to suicides. And Mark, I know you know the stories. I mean, you're a family man yourself. You're a man with a soul intact, etc. Mark, where are you guys in Inslee's face saying you are killing Washingtonians with these policies?
I think the problem we have is that we haven't had the free megaphone of TVW and weekly scripted press conferences to talk about these facts. Just yesterday, I was listening to the Speaker of the House and Majority Leader in front of the Association of Washington Business telling them that restaurants were the major cause of the COVID spread, which, of course, statistically is a blatant lie.
Okay, where are the Republicans going to restaurants that are open? Where is your caucus?
I gotta find one open.
There's one down the street in, well, not down the street, but not far from you in the Tri-Cities.
I haven't been to the Tri-Cities for a while, but I could put it on my list.
Look, you guys are going to, I'm just, you know, Mark, I mean, look, I'm a radio host, you're a senator. My job's easy, your job is hard. You guys are losing your supporters because you guys should be at that restaurant holding events. You guys should be going and rushing to any of your businesses that are open on camera. All report it on camera, going in and having lunch and giving money to these businesses and offering safe harbor. How about will you today announce in your district that you will personally help raise legal defense for any of businesses that open in your district? Will you personally announce that today?
Well, I'll contribute to a fund in a heartbeat.
All right. So will you organize a legal defense fund, and I will contribute, I'll promote it, you and I can co-promote it, a legal defense fund for businesses that decide that they can't close?
Well, I think organizing it might be a little outside of my talents, but I certainly would support it.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, are Inslee's lockdowns killing people?
Yes. I mean, I think with the statistics I heard this morning from Representative Schmick, that the suicide rate, the depression, certainly is hurting health and contributing to early death by some.
Yeah. Well, I would tell you that it's not just some, that the numbers that I've seen are that the lockdown nationwide has now killed more people than the COVID flu. It's taken far more, 10 to 12 times more life years, because the average COVID flu person who dies with it or from it are 80, and the suicides, et cetera. This is going to be seen in a very, very dark way. And I've monopolized this with a lot of questions. You guys are pushing for a session. You want JNC to call you back. You know he's not going to do that, right?
I think it's a long shot at best. But, yeah. You know, you cannot give up the struggle.
No, you can't. And that's why I'm a little surprised to hear you say you'll continue to sign the Four Corners agreements, because it appears to me, is there other leverage you have of which I'm unaware?
No, I think we really don't have a lot of leverage with the proclamations that conservatives would support.
Yeah,
to
but
kill
that's,
the ones
that's,
that conservatives support,
no,
I think
no,
would be
that,
counterproductive to the people.
So, in other words, the only leverage you have, you won't use because there's some good stuff in it.
You know, I think if there was, we have rejected a number of them over the past 8 months that were not good public policy. I was ridiculed and used in Democrat fundraising because I stood up for people's ability to have their day in court. We've taken a few shots and we'll continue to, but there is... The ones that are the most onerous don't fit into the statutes of the Four Corners.
Okay. Well, you and I just stand in disagreement on that, Mark. But as always, I'm very thankful that people come on the show and will engage in a tough conversation. Appreciate you recognizing that there is not a legitimate medical emergency, at least in the way that Jay Inslee means. We come back on the show?
Of course. I always welcome it.
All right. I appreciate it. Mark Schossler joins us, 9th District State Senator. Mark, do go with God's good grace. I appreciate you putting up with the tough questions today. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. The text line is 800-465-8770. Still not sold on that Four Corners Agreement thing with Mark Schossler. Just came on the show. Get your texts. And I was looking at Twitter about what people were saying about that. And there is a divorce between, I think, where people, you know, people who work in the private sector at and where politicians are in this. I think that the people are near revolt stage. And I think that's an appropriate feeling to have. And you know me, I'm not... Listen, I don't wear a woke mask. I'm not going to wear a woke mask. I will frequent businesses that are open during this period of time. If they don't want me to promote who they are, I won't. Dinesh D'Souza just said what I said. I'm not saying Dinesh got it from me. It's not that hard to see. But Dinesh D'Souza, as he does, just said this in a very precise and very cogent way of pure brevity. This is about the election fraud. A little reminder from last year. What Sidney Powell is saying, far from being absurd and outlandish, is precisely what many on the left were saying prior to November 2020. And he points to Edward Snowden, hero of the left, and now to some on the right. To a New York Times piece. The New York Times ran an article featuring, or actually Snowden pointing to an interview on the Times, July 27, 2019. There was a time, as in a year and a half ago, where the Mockingbird media sources who were telling you you're nuts if you think there was any fraud in this election. You're nuts. You are in the Trump cult. Same organization said, oh, these soft, you know, these soft little boxes are so easy to hack. And I want to go back because I think it's so vital to this comparison for us, for being grounded in facts as we are wont to do in this program. First thing we did with the COVID flu was to do pattern recognition. What are the patterns we're seeing? The patterns we were seeing at the time with the COVID flu was picking of winners and losers, because we know this. Where there's a double standard, there's a hidden agenda. There is absolutely a double standard when it comes to the COVID flu. We know that. There is pre-COVID science and then post-COVID fake science. Now, in this era, there is pre-Trump election theory. Elections can be hacked. There's post-Trump election theory. Unhackable. Absolutely solid, unhackable. Any suggestion that there was fraud is absolute cultism. Those patterns are vital. If you grew up in an abusive home, you recognize some patterns. My dad is late getting home. I heard him slam his door to the car. He fumbled with his keys coming into the house. If you grew up in an abusive home, you hear those signals, you run and hide. You've grown to see that because your dad has double standards. There's a standard of sober dad, then there's a standard of drunk dad. Drunk dad is the one who comes in, takes the belt off, and says, I'll give you something to cry about. In the case of the Mockingbird Media members, their double standard is abusive to us. Same thing. As late as a year and a half ago, in June, July of 2019, the New York Times was saying, you idiots that don't think that that Trump stole this election, look how easily we can hack these boxes. Only an idiot, only an orange, you know, orange man cult member would believe that these are not hackable. Now, which one is sober dad? Now, the New York Times is telling us these can't be hacked. Double standards and hidden objections. You see the patterns. Look at the COVID flu. Look at what people are telling us about the COVID flu. This guy is a player for the, are they the Los Angeles Raiders now? He's a football player. What on earth does a Raiders football player have to gain by talking about testing fraud in the COVID flu?
I just got a call from the Nevada Health Department saying that I tested positive for COVID. The Nevada Health Department receives every single COVID test, positive or negative. They receive the results. And obviously, my organization would have been the ones to know if I had received a positive test before this organization, the Nevada Health Department. When I told them that I get tested every single day for my work and that they would have known prior, and I told them that I played for the Raiders, they began to feel all flustered and realized that they got caught in a lie. When they got caught in a lie, they told me to ignore the phone call, to act like they never called, and to pretend that this never happened.
What does he have to gain? Unless Sidney Powell has gone utterly insane or decided to become a grifter and to live on Republican donations to a nonprofit and get rich, or she's become stupid, she's saying the same thing that they were saying, the left and Mockingbird Media. Here's a nurse. Prefer that she give her name. She didn't. Talking about something. The reason I give this credence is this happened to a woman I know who works in healthcare. Exact same thing happened to a woman I know who works in healthcare. She's talking about testing fraud.
I wanted to inform you guys of how the testing is going in Florida. I'm a nurse. I'm required to have testing every 2 weeks to go into the facilities that I go into. For starters, if you do the rapid testing and you test positive for antibodies, meaning you're not currently infected but may have been infected in the past, they have to report that as a positive case. If you test positive, go into quarantine, have your retest done in 2 to 3 weeks, whatever your place, you know, requires. That's considered a second positive case. If I get a false positive from the rapid testing, then I have to go and have the rapid test done a second time. If that second rapid test is positive, then I have to go get the nose swab the third time. If all three come back positive, they consider that three positive cases. So all in all, I could have five positive cases for one person who may not even be positive.
I saw this happen. Same pattern, folks. I'll get back into next hour this excellent piece of journalism on the impossible, clearly algorithmic votes inserted for Joe Biden. That's not being discussed by the Mockingbird media. Testing fraud is never mentioned by the Mockingbird media members. There you go. Okay, so next hour, I'm just going to really go very, very deep into why I am comfortable saying I see algorithmic fraud in the elections. I'm going to get a little bit geeky. We're going to talk about the randomization of numbers and how unlikely it is that you have these otherwise randomized numbers suddenly encountering highly organized insertion of numbers that have all the hallmarks of being computer created. There's two levels of this. One is one that I can't pretend to understand a degree to which I can explain. And this has to do with Pennsylvania and ratios and fraction magic. And you've heard that phrase. This is using software to appoint fractional measures to Trump votes. Sidney Powell makes this case. She contends that it was 1.25 for Biden, 0.75 for Trump votes, which over time, of course, would make Biden the winner, or not the winner, but would give him the most votes. That's super geeky. I'm going to try to find a friend to come on and explain that. And in fact, I think I know who I'm going to have do that. The other is real easy to understand. And it's this. If you walked, you know, it snowed where I live. If you walked outside in your neighborhood and it had snowed and there was a snowman in every other yard, would you say, wow, look at that. The snow appeared in the form of snowmen in some yards. No, you wouldn't. If you woke up and some driveways had no snow in it, would you say, wow, look at the snow missed the driveways? No, you'd say, oh, okay, so my neighbors have been up early or they have heated driveways. Same with this data. It is clear as day to me that there's been algorithmic fraud. Let's get into
just a few more things.
Quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into a logical and sequentially ordered list. The numbers get bigger as the stories get more goofy. Actually, they don't. There's always sort of a baseline level of goof.
Thing one.
So, little comparison here. You have on CNN this person named Avalon. One day I'll have to watch CNN. Instead of just looking at the clips, I don't know who this Avalon person is, but they work at CNN, so they're very, very important and highly paid, obviously brilliant, obviously geniuses. Talking about how popular liberal policies are in the United States.
Because even with all our deepening partisan and regional division, we're actually less divided than meets the eye when it comes to public policy. Take immigration, one of the most bitterly divisive issues of our time. 74% of Americans support legal status for immigrants brought here illegally as children, often known as dreamers.
Yeah, and 70% of Americans, when they're told they have an opportunity to stop that happening, say, hey, let's stop that happening. And 70% of Americans say, wait a minute, we're going to give these people status and then invite more folks? See, it's all about the spin from CNN. Now, point of comparison. Over a morning, Joe. Did you know he's a Republican? Yeah. Joe Scarborough's a Republican, man. He's gone rogue over on MSNBC. He's a rogue truth teller.
Thing two.
There's some worry on Morning Joe's show about some truth decay. Get it? Like tooth decay? So clever.
But it started penetrating mainstream media. And I want everyone that is watching the show this morning to remember that we have one major problem. And it's the party of Trump, the Republican Party.
President Obama has talked about truth decay and the idea that that Americans can't agree on the facts.
Yeah, the truth decay, by the way, their concern in that segment, you know what the truth decay was? The Democrats have been branded socialists. Well, they're not socialists. They're communists. They've made it very, 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 very clear. They want the state to strong arm acquire the means of production. They want to seize the means of production, starting with healthcare. Isn't it funny how all Democrat arguments lead back to the government needs to control all the doctors. All the pharmaceuticals need to go through us, and we can't have the private industry involved in anything but voting, because there they can buy it. Next up in just a few more things.
Thing three.
Back to MSNBC. The selective memory around Barack Obama is one of the biggest indicators of bubble think in the offices of Mockingbird media members. So four media members who are members of the Mockingbird group. Barack Obama was scandal-free. This morning, The Economist put out an article saying that he was his entire life obsessed with bipartisanship, and it harmed him. His obsession with reaching across the aisle, MSNBC.
That optimism sometimes drove his supporters crazy because he wouldn't get down. He wouldn't get down in the mud.
Barack Obama wouldn't get down in the mud. Huh? He wouldn't what?
Thing four.
See, I can't go to YouTube and get this clip. Oh, you can find references to the clip, but you can't get the audio.
You know, I just tell them, look, they bring a knife, we bring a gun.
I can't find this clip.
You know, I would say to Hispanics, it's time for folks for Hispanics to punish their enemies.
It's so hard to find these clips.
Well, look, I'm not completely briefed on that, but I know the police acted stupidly. If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin. And by the way, did they tell you that Obama? He's got a weird last name. Did you know he's black?
Use of the IRS to target political enemies and the DOJ and the FBI and 4 years of spying on the Trump campaign. But yeah, Obama, he never got down to the mud.
Thing five.
Last up and just a few more things. Oh, did you know black people don't like vaccinations? Yep. Black people are anti-vax. What? Me? A racist? No. I'm quoting the Reverend.
In the African-American community, we don't trust vaccines because of past history, like the Tuskegee experiment. He needs to deal with that health disparity, particularly in light of COVID-19.
Yeah. I don't trust the COVID vaccine because I've seen the wall of lies produced with it. And I don't trust most big pharma anymore because I'm watching them purchase our children. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.